Hey everybody, welcome to Promised Land. So glad that you're with us. I especially want to welcome everybody at our Lockhart campus. We love you guys so much and we are excited. You guys are going to a new location in August, the Lockhart High School Performing Arts Center. It's beautiful. People are going to love it. You're going to love it. It's going to be awesome. So everybody in Lockhart, we love you. Welcome. We also want to welcome everybody that's joining us online today through Facebook, through our podcast, through our website. We love you guys too. And of course, everybody in San Marcos. Everybody's starting via video today. So why am I outside in the hot Texas heat? Well, I wanted to demonstrate the message today and I had to come outside to do it. Last week we started a sermon series called Bad Words. And we had the bow and arrow, we were shooting the bow and arrow, demonstrating sin and what it really means to miss the mark. Well, today we're gonna take another bad word from the Bible, and I want you guys to help, you know, I want to unlock the word transgression in your mind so you can truly understand what it means. So when you're reading the Bible and you read words like sin, transgression, and iniquity, it can be hard to process because they're such, you know, they're ancient words. You don't use those words in everyday language. You know, when you're hanging out at the grocery store, you don't talk about iniquity, you know, or transgression. It's just, we don't use it. But the risk is that we could think that those words are ancient, have no meaning for us now, are not relevant to us. And that's a danger. We don't want that. When we read the Bible, we want to be able to digest it and understand it. So today, we're going to take the word transgression and truly understand what it means in everyday language. It comes from a root word in Hebrew called pesha. And pesha is a kind of fun word to say, but what it means is to break trust, to violate a relationship with someone that trusts you or knows you, to break a covenant. It can also mean trespass. So the word trespass, the word treachery, those words come from the same word, and it means to violate someone that is connected to you. So here I am, and what I want to do is I want to demonstrate pesha for you. I want to trespass in front of you all. Okay, so here we go on our property, and what I'm going to do is climb this fence without poking holes in my pants. I am on someone else's property now and violating their trust. This is pesha right here. I'm not stopping though because I really want to show you what I'm talking about. I got some spray paint here. And y'all come over here, check this out. I'm gonna spray paint Hollyfield on this old piece of metal. Y'all ready? Yeah. You know, Mike is our campus pastor in Lockhart. And you know, he needs to have his name represented on someone else's property. So so here we are. We're in full state of pesha mode here on another piece of property, violating not only this property, but also violating, what's that noise? You hear that? Okay, go ahead and turn it off. Cut that off.
Oh, how's that feel? Everybody all right? Feels a little weird when your pastor's a felon, but I'm here just to set you at ease. That was all dramatized, okay? It's not someone else's property. Police are not coming to get me. But wanted you to experience a little bit of the weight of pesha. And I have one other thing I want to share with you, but I need a volunteer. So, are you sure? Nikki, why don't you give me your purse real quick? How many know that it's a nice purse, isn't it? How many know that this is private property? And this is very important to a woman. So what do you say we just dig through it a little bit? Gum. It's good. I see some makeup. Pills. Not sure what that is. A scarf. Keys. Come on. Cell phone. Makeup. Anybody else feeling a little nervous right now? It's awkward. Violation. Pesha, I like this. This is like those AirPod things. This is full-blown Pesha right here. I won't divulge any other secrets that are in here. And I appreciate Nikki taking out all the other stuff before she came up here. I wanted to display a little bit of Pesha. Isn't there an awkwardness when that happens? Isn't there like, that shouldn't happen? You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't climb someone's fence. You shouldn't spray paint on someone's property. You shouldn't spray paint someone else's name on someone else's property. You shouldn't dig through someone's purse. That's Pesha. The reason you feel that is because Pesha is wrong. Transgression has consequences. Last week was amartia. That means missing the mark. That's sin. Today is transgression. Pesha. That's the word used in the Old Testament. There's consequences. There's legal consequences. There's eternal consequences to transgression. The Bible uses transgression a lot through both the Old and the New Testament. Jesus uses the word transgression, trespass. In fact, in one of his most famous passages, Jesus says, forgive them, or he says, Lord, forgive me of my, trespasses, as I forgive those who have trespassed against me. Transgression, trespass, treason is another word that comes from the same word. That means to violate a covenant, violate someone that trusts you. That's treason, treachery, transgression, trespass. It's tough. It's heavy. I know that some of you are going, why am I even here today? Because I'm not digging through purses, and I'm not climbing barbed wire fences, and I'm not spray painting on stuff. So I'm not a trespasser. Oh, really? Violating trust can happen on a very thin scale, very small scale. And sometimes we can do it without even realizing it. It's so subtle and small. So instead of just thinking about, like, well, I haven't stolen anybody's car or clothes or phone or AirPods or whatever. I mean, obviously theft, lying, that's all trespass. So if you've ever stolen anything, if you ever lied, if you ever had an affair, that's adultery, that's a blatant trespass, transgression against someone else. But Jesus elevated the idea of trespass. He said, you know, the Old Testament said an eye for an eye, but I say love your enemies. He also said, You know, if you have an affair with another person, that is trespass, and that's wrong. That's adultery. But he elevated it and said, you know, if you even look at another person in that lustful way, you've committed trespass. So all of a sudden, we're including a lot more people in here in the trespass category. But what about violating people's emotions? Violating people's space? Stealing people's time away from them? Leading people to believe something that's not true? I mean, lying is trespass. Lying is transgression, because you're breaking trust, you're lying. But what if you technically don't say anything that's false, but you lead them to believe something that's not really true? That is transgression. That's trespass, because you are violating their trust. They think, this person is telling me the truth. This is what they mean. They really mean something else. I want to confess before you today, okay? When I was in college, I had several different girls that were sort of simmering on the stove of my love life all at the same time, and each one thought they were the one. Not like I was going to marry them, but that I was dating only them or whatever. Never told them that, never blatantly lied to them, never did anything to harm them blatantly, overtly. But I was misleading them, and that's wrong. In fact, Erica talked about that a few weeks ago when she was in here. And it was not right. I was trespassing on their emotions. And so I'm a trespasser for probably many more reasons than that, but that was one that came to mind that I wasn't afraid to confess to you today. That's transgressions. That's pesha. What about cutting corners? Meaning, like, this is where we're supposed to go. This is what we're supposed to do at work, at Texas State, wherever. This is the way it's supposed to happen. But this time, we're not going to go quite that far. We're going to change it and go a little bit different way. Nobody will know. They don't care. That's pesha. That's transgression. Most of us aren't stealing, like, cars and things, like I said earlier. But what about time? Probably haven't thought about that being as a transgression. But what about when you're at work and supposed to be working a certain amount of hours, and you think, well, I've worked hard enough, I've been here long enough, I've done enough things that I've put my time in, right? And so I'm going to fudge a little bit and make it look like I was there. Or I'm going to act like I was there. I'm going to lead them to believe that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Maybe you're contractual, you have contracts, businesses, deals, or whatever. And the contract says, this is what you're going to do, this is how you're going to do it. Well, they will never know. I'm going to do it a little bit differently, or I'll fix it later. Pesha. Transgression. I've heard some people rationalize stealing because this is a big corporation. Walmart would never know about this. They have so many billions of dollars. They're, you know, doing things that are not right ethically, so this is me paying them back. Rationalizing pesha. Rationalizing transgression. You're violating the law. You're violating a covenant. That's pesha. What about parents that are having a hard time at home, and so they work more hours in order to avoid having to go home? That's stealing time away from family. that you should be at home and taking it for yourself. That's transgression. That's trespass against someone else. At some point or another, everybody in here has trespassed against someone else. Whether it was a blatant thing that you did against your spouse, or maybe it was a friend, a person at church. Every human being, starting with Adam. Adam was the first trespasser. God had an agreement with him. Don't eat the forbidden fruit. You can eat anything else. You can do anything else. Just don't eat the forbidden fruit. That's the deal. That's a covenant. That's an agreement. Follow it. Okay. What do Eve and Adam do? They trespass. They go to the one tree he said not to go to. They eat it. Transgression. As a result, humanity is separated from God, detached from their father. And so then we read throughout the Bible that God makes covenants with man and woman. 12 chapters after Adam and Eve is Abraham. God says, if you be my people, I will be your God. Just be my people, and I'll be your God. Follow what I have to tell you, and I'll be your God. It takes like 2 weeks, and humans fail at their end of the bargain, their end of the deal. They're part of the covenant. And if you read the whole Old Testament, sometimes they look like God's people. Most of the time, they don't. They look like God's people. They don't look like God's people. They look like God's people. They don't. God, the whole time, is faithfully keeping his part of the deal. Every day, day in, day out, month in, month out, year in, century in, millennia out. God flawlessly keeping his end, never transgressing, never trespassing on people. Yet people are breaking their covenant with God. Transgressing, trespassing against God's plan. There's this temptation from the devil that says, you know what? You've got a better way. There's a better way than what God has given you. So we break that. I want to share with you some scriptures in Romans, the 4th chapter. If you have a Bible, turn there, because these are not, scriptures are not going to be on the screen. So grab a Bible, grab a phone, take these notes. I encourage you to read Romans 4 and 5, chapters 4 and 5. Find a Bible translation that you can understand and read it this week, because so powerful. This outlines God's response to our transgression. Abraham. He's the one that God made that covenant with. You be my people, I'll be your God. Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. Whenever you see the word Jew or Jewish nation, you can equate that with God's people, God's family. What did he discover about being made right with God? In other words, how did Abraham learn that in his trespass, it was going to be okay? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way. For the scripture tells us Abraham believed God. For God counted him as righteous because of his faith or his belief. So the ultimate question I have for you today is, do you believe God? Do you trust in God? Because it is that belief or that trust that transforms your transgression. Look what verse 4 says. This is verse 4 and 5 are powerful texts. When people work, their wages are not a gift. Think about that for a second. You get that paycheck, it's not like a surprise. Oh, wow, I got paid. If that's the case, you need to get a new job, right? You are paid because you worked. It shouldn't be a gift. You earned that. That's what he says right here. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they earned. But people, this is the difference. People are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. That's awesome. This, you are counted righteous, which is like your eternal check, your amount of money. It's hard to quantify. But God is counting you righteous, which is an incredible blessing. And you are getting that not because you earned it, but because of your faith in God who forgives sinners. It goes on to say down in verse 10, was Abraham counted as righteous only after he was circumcised? So circumcision, a process that happens, it's a surgical process that happens in men, and in the Old Testament, men had to be physically circumcised in order to be a part of the family of God. Why is that the case? You can ask God when you get to heaven. Okay. Don't ask me. But that's the law. That was the case. And so this is a great question. Did Abraham get counted righteous after he followed the law and got circumcised? It says in verse 10, how did this happen? Was he counted as righteous only after he was circumcised, or was it before he was circumcised? The answer, clearly, God accepted Abraham before he was circumcised. Okay, here's the good news. In the New Testament, today, we no longer have to be physically circumcised to be in the family of God. Yes, that's great. The Bible does talk to us about the circumcision of the heart. This is a spiritual thing that happens, and the Bible says that baptism fulfills the circumcision of the heart. Now, Pastor Mike talked to you a few minutes ago about baptism, August 18th, at the river. I want to encourage everybody, if you have not been baptized before, and you're a believer in Jesus now, get baptized in the river. If you have friends, if you have family members that live out of town or that live in town, they've never been baptized, have them come to San Marcos for the weekend and get baptized in the San Marcos River. It's an incredible experience. We're going to worship at City Stage there at 11 o'clock, and then we're going to march down to the river, and we're going to baptize dozens of people in the San Marcos River while other people are floating down beside us. And every year, it's awesome. Because they got their radios going, they're partying, and they see us, and they all turn their radios down, float by us. There's not that many that early in the day, but there's a few. Last year, we baptized some strangers that were just walking through the park that heard the good news of Jesus and got baptized. It was such a biblical moment. It felt like a book of Acts being played out before our very eyes. So we're taking the church to the city. Get baptized. Maybe you're baptized as a baby but don't remember it. Didn't choose it yourself. Maybe you got baptized just so you could marry somebody in the church. Whatever the case. But now you believe yourself. I want to encourage you to be baptized again now that you believe, because it's not saving you. Baptism doesn't save you, but it's a sign. It says circumcision was a sign that Abraham had faith and that God had already accepted him and declared him as righteous. That part right there is so important. You believe that God has declared you as righteous. This is the antidote for trespass. This is the powerful response of God to your transgression. That he loved you so much, he's declaring over you, you are accepted. And this is what it says in verse 11. So, therefore, Abraham is the spiritual father of everybody sitting in the 1130 service, 2019. Spiritual father of those who have faith, have not been circumcised. Some of you are just sitting here trying to figure out, how can I make my life right? How can I get this put together so that I could live for God? I want to live a good life. I want to live the life that my mom wanted me to live, that my spouse wants me to live, that I want to live. I want to be there. How can I get there? This is telling us, telling everybody in here, all the trespassers, God is declaring over you that you are forgiven. Now, how could that be? Romans 5:14. Everyone has died. Look at this scripture. I think we have it for the screen. Death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned similar to Adam's transgression, to his trespass. So from Adam on, people have died. Why? Because of Adam and his transgression. Even if they hadn't sinned in a manner of Adam, they still are subject to Adam's transgression. The next verse says, but there's a great difference between Adam's trespass and God's gracious gift. For the broken trust of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. Look at the difference between the death that was proclaimed over humanity because of one man's sin, and then look at the life that is proclaimed over every human because of the holiness of one man, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus never trespassed. Jesus never violated anybody's conscience or property or trust. He never did it. But this is what Jesus does. When I'm out there and I've climbed the fence and I've spray painted somebody's name or whatever, tagged something up, and the police are coming for me because I did it, and here they come, turn around, you have the right to remain. Jesus steps in and says, arrest me instead. Amen. Instead of arresting Robin, arrest me. I want to take his punishment for him. But Jesus, you never trespass. I know, but I love Robin. I want to forgive him, and I want to pay his price. That's what Jesus is doing for every single person in the room here today. No matter how grievous the trespass has been. Some of you may have stole some gum when you're 5 years old at the sack and pack. Okay. One of these days you're going to go, that used to be called sack and pack back there. Anyway. Others of you may have had multiple affairs, stolen things, whatever. Jesus is stepping in your place. I want to take the punishment. God doesn't just go, well, let's forget about it. Let's pretend it didn't happen. Let's just distract ourselves with life so we don't have to think about it. No. That's not what God does. God says, I know that it happened, and it's terrible, and it's ugly, and it's wrong. We're not going to ignore it. It's terrible. But I'm going to pay what you owe. I'm going to pay the price for you. Look at this prophetic verse in Isaiah 53:12. This is about 700 years before Jesus was born, as prophesied. I will give him, talking about Jesus, the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the trespassers. That's what Jesus did for us. He stepped in to the crowd of violators and was counted among the violators, even though he never violated anyone. In fact, he steps into it so much that he says, I will take the punishment for all of them. Look what that next sentence says. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. He bore your sin. He took the weight of your sin. He took the weight of your transgression. He took the weight of your iniquity and dealt with it effectively. Thank you, Jesus. So why don't we just confess our state? I think it's healthy spiritually and psychologically to hear yourself confess. So I want to encourage you. Why don't you stand to your feet? Listen, we're closing in prayer right now. Would you, if you want, I mean, I'm not forcing anybody, but if you're ready to surrender your heart to Jesus, then let's pray this right now. Why don't you just pray after me? Say, I am a trespasser. Yeah. I have sinned. I submit my life to you, Jesus. Please forgive me of my trespasses, as I forgive those who have trespassed against me. I believe you, God. My faith is in you, Jesus. I'm trusting you with my life. Take me as I am. Make me who you want me to be. I look to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, clap your hands with me right now. Yeah. So good. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us today. We love you. We're here for you. If you want to make a connection with us this week, in the seat back in front of you is what we call a connection card. We'd love for you to take that card, give us a point of contact, email, phone number, whatever. Ask any question you want. We'll answer it. We'll help you with your next steps spiritually, next steps with your church. If you want to do that a digital way, text the word NEXT to 512-580-8555. Those of you online, you can send us an email. We'd love to connect with you as well. God bless you. You can hand those cards to the hospitality team as you leave. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful day. We love you.